They say I'm crazy, the way you got me open, baby.
Ooh. Yes, welcome back.
They say I'm
last hour of the grapevine, and we continue to cook these grapes. We cooking the grapes. We ain't just picking them, we cooking them now. We fire. Fire. Winky Blue and Al, we're on fire today. We talking about grocery stores. We can continue this topic because we got a lot more to talk about. People going hungry, man. People, they gotta travel to eat. Travel. Get on the Uber, get on the bus, ask for a ride, get in their cars, go across town. You should always have a grocery store. This is America. You should always have a grocery store about 3 to 4 blocks away from you. At the very least, 7 to 10. Gotta be. And we're losing the grocery stores left and right in many parts of the city. So, and they're moving. They're conglomerates. They're out of here. They're disinvesting into the neighborhoods in which people have shopped with them for a long period of time. They have not said anything helpful. The caller. How you doing? The caller.
I'm doing awesome today.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Doing awesome today. And since this is 101.7 The Truth, anytime I hear a lie, I have to call them out.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a person who, you know how they say, liar, liar, pants on fire.
Oh, dude.
And that's brother Winky.
Okay.
And we love him. He's entertaining. But he is a person with a certain point of view, which, in my opinion, and some facts I could use to support, is a Confederate sympathizer.
Mm.
And the reason I say that is when you will get on the radio and talk about aldermen as if they have impact or choose immigrants, which is a federal issue,
mm-hmm.
Then you're already starting with a very faulty premise.
Mm.
Because we don't have aldermen in Milwaukee who decided to let thousands of Afrikaners, which are white South Africans, who stole land from Nelson Mandela and the people of South Africa and now are claiming victimhood, just like a lot of white supremacists here who claimed victimhood in Wisconsin because black children or black high school graduates were being let into colleges that they were denied for centuries. Due to DEI and affirmative action.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Winky is against all of those things, so therefore you cannot be for our community if you're not for our young people being educated and not willing to speak against a fascist regime who is anti-education, anti-black history, and he will never do that, which is why he went on the radio a few days ago saying he's supporting Tom Tiffany, and if you do your research, you'll know where he stands on many of the issues I speak of.
Oh, yeah.
So when it comes to feeding the community, big chains that Winky talked about that he encouraged you and to call aldermen to try to reattract are exactly what Pick and Save is. Pick and Save and Walgreens are part of the big chains that during the pandemic price gouged the whole world.
And then they left.
And they continue. Well, they continue to keep those prices up in the places where they have those stores,
mm-hmm.
even though the pandemic ended 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So, or 5 years ago at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So for Mr. Blue, who otherwise is an intelligent brother, to pretend that he's ignorant enough to not know all these things. And, you know, if this was a Democrat, I would, as a person who votes Democrat,
right.
I would call them out on their racism because both sides are racist.
Mm-hmm.
But a MAGA grifter cannot do that because they'll be ostracized like Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Right.
And so he knows he better not, and that's the behavior that Mr. Farrakhan calls a slave.
Mm.
So I am very sorry, and I've tried over the years that I've been calling in to encourage him to stand on his own 2 feet. Stand on the principles of Commander McGee and Howard Fuller and really love our community and not grift and try to part his hair down the middle.
So you're saying don't hate the skin you in. I think Malcolm X had a speech about that. Hey, Miss Skin, that you
ain't. Kinfolk not being kinfolk.
Kinfolk not being kinfolk. Mm-hmm. So what would you do? What would be your... So a lot of these areas are now food apartheid-based areas. Milwaukee, mm-hmm. Milwaukee is in a state of emergency. Milwaukee is a classified state of emergency food apartheid designated city. So,
and what's happening in New York is working, right?
What's happening in New York is the vision is working. They're going to open up their first city-owned grocery store in mm-hmm. in New York. They have one already opened in Atlanta called Azalea Fresh Market. It's a city-supported grocery store through a public and private partnership, whatever that is. You can imagine what that is. In a neighborhood that gone, mm-hmm. it went decades without it. And I don't know if you've ever been to Azalea Fresh Market. It's pretty cool. In a neighborhood mm-hmm. that's gone decades without a supermarket, like decades. And now people are
actually
shopping.
And what is the response of the community there, brother?
Oh, they love it. They love it. I know. Okay. I know I did.
And, yeah. And so Atlanta has been the blueprint for cities which will, most of the time be predominantly black. And so you will have black elected officials who do what they can at a local level. But for our brother, again, I have to talk about his comments, to act as if the state legislature in every state does not have impact on what mayors and aldermen can do is right. asinine. And I think your listening audience is smart enough to, I always call him out on it, and he knows I'm going to call right, Al will probably call,
call right back.
Then I'm going to call right after that to correct his lies.
Yeah.
Because you have to fact check lies, especially on a station that's called The Truth.
Uh-huh.
And he got on the radio, he didn't tell the truth, and he tried to hide what his real truth is,
mm-hmm.
and that is he will support anything that this man who sent ICE into cities to kill people says,
mm-hmm.
and he will never go against, I guess, the Confederates always wore gray, the Confederate uniform of red. He will not.
Yeah. So what would be the solution? Because we have eight stores that are closed. We have multiple Walgreens that are closed. I counted probably three or four or whatever that are closed. I was away for a while, so there's probably more around the city or less. But I want to know what would be the solution to. We're just not talking about that land per se, just that land. But mm-hmm. what would be the solution
in general
to,
for our city? You mean
for our city and groceries?
I would say following that example of New York and Atlanta, because as I said, Atlanta has been a successful blueprint of black affluence and black excellence. And another thing that I would like to say that doesn't have as much to do with food,
yeah.
but the area where Walmart is, why wouldn't we decide that would be an HBCU where we teach political science and educate our future judges and attorneys? Because it's big enough.
And
that
plumbers,
whole area.
And
why
plumbers
wouldn't we do that?
And electricians and
people who could grow healthy food.
Because
I know Meech is intelligent. I know Brother Meech is intelligent. Well, Winky Meech, he has a couple names on the radio.
Gotcha.
I know he's intelligent enough to know that liquor stores, which he suggests, we have more than enough of those.
Mm-hmm.
And he has went on air saying he tries to open liquor stores. Why not? If you want to put money together, let's put money together. Let's call, all of our affluent athletes and people who have made millions of dollars at fast food restaurants and get them to fund HBCU that would be named after Vail Phillips. Why wouldn't we do that?
I like
or
that.
The gentleman who was, I guess his name is Trent somebody,
mm-hmm.
who was coming with the data center. Why wouldn't we have our alderman sit down and talk to him about that? Because in the Midwest, that's what's needed. Education is lacking. So it could become a school of agriculture, which would feed into the very programs that you're talking about, the grocery stores.
That's right. I like that. Man, Carl, I appreciate it, man. We don't have much time in this hour to really cover everything. But city-owned grocery stores, that's what we're talking about, a city-owned public grocery store. If we can own public parks, if we can own public schools, if we can own public libraries, why can't we own a public grocery store? What is the reason why we can't? The other solution is a co-op, is a community-owned food co-op. That's either in conjunction with other co-ops, like Outpost, or we talk about investing, city investing into a company like a co-op, like was it Outpost Natural Foods? We talk about investing into them. We look at their model, the co-op model, and we partner with people like that. And then we look at opening up more co-ops where the people actually own a part of the business. And they can participate in actually more savings. That it could be a real partnership. It could be a real partnership. Ray, the CEO of Ray Simpkins, the CEO of Outpost, hit us up. Talk to us. Let us know what you think. We want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. The co-op. We want to hear from Outpost Natural Foods. We want to understand if this is a partnership that you guys will be able to adhere to at least explore. When we come back, we're going to talk about this exploration of grocery stores in the community, because there's a number of ways in which we can attack this. We need to feed people. We'll be back in two.
Used to carry all the groceries in one trip.
Hercules.
Simply made it make gone in one sip.
Trip.
Too much dip on my chip. Stiff on my chip to get my lip on.
Yes, welcome back. We're picking some grapes. We are cooking these grapes. They've been stomped by some feet up in here, baby. Making some wine, everything. Welcome back to The Grapevine. I'm your host, Manon Sabir of The Grapevine, and you are on the award-winning Truth Radio 101.7 FM. Thank you for tuning in, and we are not done with our grocery store topic. I got other topics to get to, but This is a little hot topic. We might have to stay on this, man, because we're trying to figure out how to make these grocery stores work. A lot of people need to eat. That means, shoot, it's the first of the month. It's that, man, they debating on here like it's the first of the month, Zach. Where that, man, you, the first of the month track. Come on, we got it. It ain't the first of the month, but they debating on here like it's the first of the month. Like they got to go eat. That's the time we just bring the track in.
There was a YouTube ad. It's not
going to
work. YouTube's not.
Man, before we do the first of the month, we go, George, what's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk to add into that topic of what we could do for the grocery pandemic we're dealing with right now.
Dude, it's a pandemic. You're right.
Yes, it's a pandemic for sure. I'm thinking more so what we could do is like get like start opening greenhouses. You know what I'm saying? If we're going to do the food co-op, I think especially over at Midtown, we got the space for it. We could do like a greenhouse / food co-op. So then you could get the other stuff that I know people want, like they need to and stuff like that. But then also have that source of fresh food coming in daily, somewhere that you know that you can easily access it, and you don't have to worry about going outside of the city for certain vegetables and fruits. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right. Man, that makes so much sense, because I think so. George, where's the first place you'll put it?
I would put it over there in Midtown, where they was trying to put that. I believe that's where they was trying to put that data center.
Yep.
I would put that over there instead.
They X'd that out, so they're not putting a data center there. Where else would you put it? Where's the second place?
Second place. Ooh, that's a good question. Let me think. Probably somewhere like closer to North Avenue, like on the north side. I know we got a lot of buildings over there. Maybe even at Milwaukee, the closed Milwaukee Mall. You know, even somewhere like over there.
Yep.
Just somewhere where it'd be easily accessible. You know, somewhere that they took the, oh, even that Pick and Save over there that they closed down on 35th. Yeah.
Yep.
Somewhere that they where it would make sense. Like y'all want to bring something to the economy, right? That's what the businesses, or not the businesses, but that's what the city would want. So might as well do something like that. That's gonna always be in need.
I like that, man. George, thank you. I really appreciate you, man.
Oh yeah, anytime.
Yes, sir. So I think that I think this is a really, really good conversation. I really think this concept is breaking the chains of corporate ownership. That's one. I think also this can take ages of effort, but also we need the wisdom of the community to make this happen. Before we went to break, I talked about Outpost Natural Foods. Outpost Natural Foods can play a big role in this. They actually have a black CEO. His name is Ray Simpkins. And if somebody knows where to find Ray, please pull him out the office, bring him on. We can bring him on to the show and we can have a conversation. Matter of fact, we can bring him in with the mayor and we could talk about this. It doesn't have to be a said partnership, but we can talk about how this can work. And we can bring in Venus Williams. We can bring in Will Allen. We can bring in Andre Lealis. We can bring in multiple people to really have a roundtable discussion. We need people who are actually food innovators. And then we can bring in the politicians to talk about how this can be done. Because we need not just the city to have an investment in it, but we also need privately owned operators, even if they are a co-op, to talk about this system, this food apartheid. So not only do we need to do that, but if you look at New Orleans, place like, if you ever been to New Orleans, New Orleans has a really rich history of, and shout out to my good friends out there, my cousins out there, my cousin Kat, and also shout out to my homie Reg, shout out to y'all and the family. What I learned is that New Orleans has this really rich history of making homes into like restaurants and different types of stores, like actual homes on blocks. Maybe the grocery store doesn't sit in a said place. It's maybe the grocery store sits in the middle of the block. In a large home, a city-owned home, doesn't take a lot. And we set up many little MINI grocery stores, little grocery stores. And then we do like mobile grocery stores. So it becomes an abundance of food, an abundance of healthy food, healthy, nutritious food that people can eat on. It's simple. We got this guy who comes in from the South. He brings watermelon. That's a mobile grocery store. Got another person who comes in to Milwaukee, and what does he bring? Peaches. Those are mobile grocery stores. They're selling a mono fruit, one fruit. But what if we had someone who shopped with them and put it on their cart, on their truck, in their mini grocery store, and then shop, and then we go to those people. What if City of Milwaukee had a city-owned grocery store? Not what if Milwaukee needs a city-owned grocery store to keep prices lower? That is the issue. And one thing the caller made right was that during the pandemic, these companies raised the prices which they adjusted their price. It's called price anchoring. They made prices higher. They made prices higher with the same products you were buying at a lower cost prior to the pandemic. And then they kept the prices high. And then they're saying that they're offering you discounts by, like, you know, give you coupons and stuff like that. When in reality, they're going back down to the back down to half the original price. This is what they're doing. Simple economics. To pay for what? To pay for their Porsche, pay for their Lexus, pay for their house in the suburbs, whatever they're doing, we're paying for it. So would mobile grocery stores work? Would mobile grocery stores work? Can you turn corner stores into healthy markets? Can the city have any regulation on this? Cities, instead of building new stores, right? We can help convenience stores carry fresh produce and products, lean meat, healthy milk, healthy snacks, just instead of chips, soda, and candy. People are tired of that. People know that. San Francisco's proposing funds to help transform neighborhood corner stores into affordable grocery markets. Where's the money? Where's the money coming from? This is what we need to adjust to look for. Many cities are now doubling SNAP dollars. You spend 10, you receive 20. $20 worth of fruits and vegetables. So this increases healthy eating and it supports local farmers. Grocery incentive programs, supporting CSAs. Some cities, they help grocery stores by offering tax incentives. This is all real life information, y'all. This is real life information. So instead of creating grocery ownership, think about it. We got enough churches. We got enough nonprofits, enough philanthropists, enough black entrepreneurs, enough health systems, enough universities, enough foundations. Could Milwaukee build its own grocery ecosystem where it's healthy competition? Healthy competition all over the city. And instead of depending on national chains, Kroger, Meijer, these small grocery chains should have their own conglomerate and compete with those large chains. Y'all could win as long as you come together. So imagine City of Milwaukee gave your neighborhood $10 million tomorrow. Would you rather have a new Pick and Save, a community-owned grocery cooperative, a city-owned grocery store, or dozens of fresh food markets? Milwaukee, what would you build? I'm going to go to the chat just a little bit. Teresa Stubblesfield, 703, said, hi, the greenhouse on Silver Spring is for sale. The greenhouse. Oh, by the military outfit. Is for sale. It would be perfect. Yes, it would be. Shout out to Will Allen. He was there prior to that. Yeah, it would be. Guaranteed. So food apartheid isn't just about groceries. It's about ownership. If we don't own the places that feed us, we don't control one of the most important parts of our health. And maybe, and just maybe, the next civil rights movement isn't just about voting rights or housing. Those are important, highly important, because they're still being attacked. Maybe it's about who owns the food on our block. Maybe if we start where they're not necessarily attacking us so much, because they're heavily attacking voting rights, heavily attacking housing, heavily. Although they say we need more housing. They're sending developers in. They're sending their developers in. What if we say we need food, and we just start there? We start small, like New Orleans has done. When we come back, We're going to talk some more about our food systems, and we're going to talk about colonization. What did France do that we can do also? We'll be back in two. Welcome back. And the Truth Family Fest, get ready. We need y'all to sign up for the Truth Family Fest. Straight up. It's going to be fire. Get ready. 1017, the Truth Family Fest is back. And it's going to be really, really nice. Join us Saturday, August 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Riverside University High School for free. It's free back-to-school resources. Free back-to-school resources. Live entertainment. Family activities and community fun. Somebody bring the bubbles out. We got to do like the bubbles and the jacks and the hopscotch. We got to bring that out. Vendors and sponsors can reserve a spot. If you are a vendor and you want to sponsor, please give Sierra Brown an email. Sierra, that's Sierra.Brown@MilwaukeeBlackMedia.com. And this message is proudly sponsored by Educators Credit Union, American Family Insurance, Milwaukee Public Schools, and Ascension Health. I'm gonna tell you, if you want to bring your family out, I'm gonna challenge some people to bring their family out and choose a person from your family to do a push-up battle against me if you coming out. I choose your family. Choose a family member. I'll be out there, and I'm just going to have like a little ad hoc area. If you want to come out, choose it. And I don't have anything to offer right now. Man, I will have – chill out, Zach. Chill out. See, I'm going to go to our next section. We'll go to our next session, man. Oh, this is crazy. Crazy day. This is a wild day. It's a wild day. I'm going to leave you right there, Zach. Just pick up where I left off. So we just got finished with a big, big topic about Milwaukee groceries. And we need people to step on the gas. Maybe I'm talking about this a lot because I'm hungry, or it's because so many people are hungry. We got to figure it out. Now, let me take you somewhere else that most of y'all never learned in the Wisconsin history class. Before statehood, before Wisconsin became statehood, there was this place called the Cheyenne Valley out in Vernon County, the largest black farming settlement Wisconsin ever had. Almost 150 black folks at its peak, most of them formerly enslaved, building a farming community, absolute nothing there. They were cooperating, like they're, you know, cooperating means that they were bartering and sharing tools and sharing land and stuff like that. Sharing survival. You know, they're sharing that survival in Wisconsin. It gets cold up here too. Down in Grant County, there was Pleasant Ridge. So two brothers, Charles and Isaac Shepherd, showed up in 1848 as newly freed men. They worked another man's land just enough to buy their own 200 acres. And by 1895, the settlers of Pleasant Ridge owned over 700 acres together. And that's not a footnote. That's real life. They owned over 700 acres. So that's an empire that's built with nothing but hands and determination, desire. 700 acres. That's a lot of land. But I got to give you the full weight of it, too. Right there, right here in Wisconsin, we have Madison, the black family name. The Hendersons farmed the South Side for decades. Then in 1927, a white man murdered the family son and the grandson over a rumor. We're going to talk about these rumors, too, because I got a rumor I want to share with y'all. A rumor somebody said something negative about white folks, of course. The family had to close a farm and sell the land, and it was gone. So that's Wisconsin. That's our history. That is our history. So black farmers have nearly tripled in Wisconsin since 2002. They're real people. They're here. right here in Wisconsin. And carrying this forward is a few people. Kingsley Gorborn. They're smoking chickens out in Mount Horeb. And Yusuf Benrella, they're growing heirloom Afro diasporic crops through trade routes. This is absolutely amazing. This article came out, and I'm excited. This is great. Ruthana Hutton Okopeleke, healing generational land trauma through urban triage. Robert Pierce, 30 years deep, still running South Madison's farmers market. And every single one of them fighting the same wall is land access, it's loan denials, you name it. It's still the same thing. Black farmers, they're nationally still get rejected for loans more than any other group of people. There's a $4 billion relief fund for underserved farmers, and it got blocked in court by white farmers who challenged it. Y'all get this, right? $4 billion relief fund for underserved farmers. Mind you that our government just blocked funding, extra funding, for black farmers. Absolutely, absolutely crazy, absolutely wild, diabolical, crash out. This is the definition of crash out. $4 billion gone. Other funds wiped out. Whole departments gone. And now people don't even want these farmers to survive. But look what we're facing. We're facing the fact that we're going to have a shortage of fertilizer really, really soon. And fertilizer is what you need to grow food. And that's everybody across the board. So Milwaukee, we as a people, we don't lack the legacy. We don't lack the blueprint. What we lack is the infrastructure. We lack the infrastructure to let it grow the way it's growing 90 minutes up the road right now. So what are we doing? I want to widen it out just a little bit. What are we doing? Because this isn't just like a New York story, right? Like, we need to, as a people, learn that people like, I'm going to read these names again. People like Kingsley Gorborn, he's smoking chickens. So what he did was he ordered a bunch of chickens during the pandemic and the bottom dropped out. He had I think he had 110 frozen chickens. And what he had the grand idea to do was smoke the chickens and start selling it. Boom. Right away. It clicked and it went viral for him. Yusuf Benrella, he's growing heirloom diasporic crops that are native to people of the African diaspora. No matter what side of the coin you're on in relationship to, if you're got a little bit of black, a half a bit of black, you know, or half a bit of African, whatever it is. If you have a genetic code that relates back to these crops, and that's what he's growing, and that's what he's actually promoting. And then Ruthana Okopeleke is healing land trauma through the urban triage by helping people own land. And then you have Robert Pierce, who's, you know, if y'all ain't never been to the farmers market in Madison, it's a sight to see. I'm not saying that our farmers markets are lacking, but we do need more farmers that are black to farm. Farm at in the back of the back of your house, wherever. Farm. We need you to farm. So these folks are doing it, and they're doing it at the behest of their own will and desire, but they're also doing it because there's a generational and a historical property that they're tapping into in order to farm and feed people. But there's also what they're facing is racism. They're facing heavy racism in trying to receive proper government funding in order for them to continue their race and continue literally their farms, their businesses. It's a $4 billion relief fund that was blocked by the court. And guess who blocked it? Other white farmers. There's a coalition of black farmers. There's a coalition of black farmers. I mean, they were tried to meet with President Trump, and President Trump denied the meeting. He denied the meeting and then cut the funding. This happened recently. Hey, y'all, we're going to continue to talk about what we can do to, we're going to talk about our food systems. We're going to continue to talk about our food systems and then what we can do to counteract the disinvestment. There's a lot of disinvestment going on. We'll be back in two on the grapevine. Okay. Welcome back to the Grapevine, and we skirt back to our communication with our audience about these groceries. And this has been a hot topic, man. I really appreciate y'all. We winding it down. I'm excited for you all to push this city of Milwaukee, push your city, wherever your city is, and if they're losing out on food as a basic need, then we need to talk with, if you need to do what you need to do, do it. But talking with the city should be one of those need to do's. Talking with your city needs to happen. And I want to widen this out. I want to see what other cities are doing. We already know what we already built and lost. But we didn't, and I want to tell you that we didn't necessarily build those grocery stores. Grocery stores came in, you know, I think the mid, we had general stores, but mid 30s, 40s or something. I know my mom's was like, they had grocery stores, but she was on the military base also. So I don't know the history of the military, the grocery stores. We're going to find that out. But I do know is that they changed the game. They took food that they could control and they put it inside of a box. What if you took food that you can control and you put it inside of your refrigerator? You put it inside of a box and you put it inside of your own refrigerator. You cut your own meat. You went hunting or fishing, whatever you need to do, or you went to the butcher, a real butcher, or you went to the slaughterhouse and you went in on a goat, couple of chickens, a number of chickens. You went in on cows. Some of y'all spend $600-$700 in the weekend. You can buy a $300 cow or a $600 cow or a $900 cow as a couple of families, right? Get that cow, skin the cow, quarter it, or whatever you need to do, chop it up, put it in the deep freezer like grandmama used to do, and then you can eat for, three families can eat for 6 months apiece off that meat. Grass-fed cow. There you go. Off of one weekend of a 300, some of y'all spend are going to spend $300 this weekend. Guaranteed. Or you can just take that $300 and donate it to somebody who needs the meat. You just work with a couple of families. That's how we win. If you want to win, this is how we win. And then you grow, you go to the store, you get a gang load of beans, a gang load of rice, keep it in a safe, dry space, and then the family start eating off of that. We got to come together. This conversation isn't going away, because we're going to face hard times. And I'm not operating in the soothsayer's delight. We're going to face hard times. This is going to happen. We got high gas prices coming, high oil prices coming. This is going to affect our transportation. Fertilizer is going to start dropping. They have to start raising the price on fertilizer. Farms aren't going to be able to afford fertilizer. This is going to be a long period of time, because we got a president who's doing the most, clowning, crashing out. That's what he's doing, crashing out. He a crash out. If y'all want to know who a crash out is, Madison, same state as Milwaukee. They're buying a 24,000 square foot, they got a 15-year lease. Madison does. City of Madison. Buying a 24,000 square foot, they got a 15-year lease to Moore's Market. It's a real Wisconsin family grocer. Atlanta put up $8.1 million for two new stores in underserved Atlanta, city of Atlanta. Two new stores in neighborhoods. Philadelphia has been running their fresh food financing initiative for over two decades. They're funding supermarkets in areas that are in food apartheid areas. D.C., PC County, that's Prince, PG County, that's Prince George's County, they're offering straight tax incentives for cheap, fast, you can start right away. Jacksonville runs a free shuttle from food apartheid areas to real grocery stores. The city of Jacksonville has a free shuttle. Oakland's helping existing corner stores stock like actual real produce, real fruit, real vegetables, instead of chips and liquor. Like, we got to do more. And I'll be fair, all this ain't going to just work. All this doesn't always work. If you look at Kansas has a city-owned grocery store, and they couldn't get enough people to shop there. So funding doesn't necessarily mean that you get foot traffic. Funding doesn't mean you get foot traffic. And I want to tell y'all, like, here's the real gut punch. In Milwaukee, I need y'all to sit up for this. We built one of the most celebrated urban farming operations in the entire country, and we let it die. And that's Will Allen. Will Allen had growing power, trained a boatload of people, gang load of people, won the MacArthur Genius Grant, worked like he was on the, I think, Obama committee. And we let it die. Nobody built the financial structure to hold it up. So while other cities are doing this with government money, what are we already proving could work? What are we already proving that could work? We already proved that this could work. co-ops can work. We proved that private land ownership could work with farms with that have produce. We already proved that that can work. Urban farms. Waterway had it, has it, or had it. I don't. Milwaukee's blueprint is sitting right here. It's sitting right here this whole entire time. So the question may not be, can it work? The question is, where do we put it to make it work? Where do we put it to make it work? Milwaukee, we have to, this has to be an action. This has to be a place in time that we hold ourselves accountable and responsible for the actions of kind of other actions of others. Like, okay, we let this grocery store come in here and, you know, we laid down and we start shopping at it, the place, and then they left and we just laying down. Nah, we Mulligan. All right, y'all got us on that. It's a zero-sum game. Now we got to get our legs up on the table. We got to start standing on the table. We can't just start living underneath the table. We got to stand on top of the table. We got to start standing on top of the table. And Milwaukee, that's the show. That is the show. A grocery aisle, a nation's sovereignty are two different sizes of the same exact fight. Who controls what's supposed to be ours? And what we learned today, we didn't even have to look far for the proof that it can work. Because Will Allen built it. Cheyenne Valley built it. The people of Lake Ivanhoe built it. Pleasant Ridge. Madison's building it right now. So here's your assignment. Pick one thing. Show up. Keep Jade Risers in your name. To somebody who didn't hear it, Jade Riser is a little girl that was shot on Burleigh. On the land, on the plate, own yourself. I'll see y'all next time, Milwaukee. Keep Jade Risers in your name, and peace.